What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Nick Scarpino, Tim Geddes, Andy Cortez, and our guest, the new voice of Cleveland Brown on Family Guy, Arif Zaire. Hello, Arif.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good, man. I'm good.
Are you about to have like the best year of your life? Like, what does it feel like right now? You're about to come on to Family Guy as a main player.
It's still surreal. I got to pinch myself. You know, table reads have all been virtual over Zoom and haven't met anyone in person yet. So I think it's going to feel really real once that first, like, it seems today comes on. And then, like, I'm going to be so nervous during the entire title card, you know, but I can't wait.
So, talk to us about this. If people don't know you, you're one of us. I see right now, of course, if you're an audio listener, you're driving your car, your kid's in the back, they don't want us to say fuck, but we say fuck anyway.
Great. Way more popular, though.
Why? No, I meant no. I was gonna say you're like us, meaning us, the us on the show and the people watching, that you have a PlayStation 5 behind you. You love games. I wasn't about to say you're like us. You make YouTube videos because you have over 6.5 million subscribers. You do a bit better than Kind of Funny. You're slumming it with us right now.
This is a man that we have watched videos on Internet Explorers at least 10 different times in our careers. So I think first one we watched was your This Is Wakanda video. There was This Is America parody with you doing a Black Panther,
Holy shit, so fucking killer. Oh my God. That's so funny.
Time flies. Yeah.
So is that how this all started? You were doing this YouTube stuff and now you're the voice of freaking Cleveland?
Yeah, man. Mike stepped down and at the time my friends and I were having a conversation. They all ran into my room saying, dude, all right, here's a shot. And I was like, realistically, they're probably just going to take the character off. And I was cool with that, you know. And a month later, I got contacted, and they asked if I could audition. They were like, "Would you like to audition for Cleveland Brown?" I was like, "Oh yeah, sure."
You're like, let me think about that for a second. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, I'm good. I gotta. Yeah. No, but oh man, I had to audition like four times. You know, it was like pretty. It was like a month process. A lot of it was over. I had sent my own audio in, and then I went into the studio like twice at the end.
Yeah.
And then quickly, what's funny was I got a call from the executive producer after my fourth audition, and I sent it straight to voicemail because I was like, oh, that's some bill collector or whatever. And I checked my voicemail. And they're like, yo, Arif, it's Family Guy. We want to talk to you. Do you have a minute to go on Zoom? And I was like, oh, shit. So I called them back, went to Zoom, and then that's when they offered me the role.
Hell yeah.
Holy shit.
So, I want to dial this back to multiple different points in the conversation, but start all the way back. So, obviously, you're very successful on YouTube. You're way more successful than us. We're all failures compared to you. Are you happy with that, Andy? Did I do all right there explaining it? Good Lord.
That was better, a little bit more self-deprecation, yeah.
I am garbage. I'm a terrible person.
I'm a piece of shit.
Where does that start for you? When did you start doing YouTube and why?
Okay, so my first channel was like 2006. I used to do magic tricks, didn't go anywhere. And then I was really into like Derek Comedy and Smosh at the beginning. I wanted to do skits, right? Sure. Right. I didn't have the time and resources. So I would go on the game all the time and I'd be doing, at the time the Cleveland show was on and I was going on Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3 at the time. And I was making people laugh till 4 a.m. and my mom would be like, shut the fuck. You know what I mean? And I understand it. It was like, the voice was so bad too. I was like, ow, pain, ow, what's, and people would laugh though. And I was like, you know, this is cool. Maybe. And they'd say, you should make this a channel. And at the time there weren't too many voice trolling and impression channels out there yet. And I was like, that might not work, but whatever. I'll figure it out. So my first couple of videos, they're private now, but I just recorded the screen and talked to kids with this horrible impression and they're laughing and it's like breaking through the mic and it's like so loud, but it's like, to me, I was like, oh my God, this could actually be something. And I eventually raised the money to get an Elgato game capture. And from then that was it. I just did Cleveland Brown on Call of Duty for years and built my following from there. In like 2012, I think.
And so obviously you branch off and do a whole bunch of different stuff with that. Different voices come alongside that.
Yeah.
But was Cleveland always the go-to? Like, was that just
at first?
You,
yeah. And I want to be known as the Cleveland guy, you know?
So sure, of course.
Other things. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. You don't want to be typecast. you want to just be Cleveland, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're able to grow that. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going
to
say, that's like the most grassroots thing ever. Like, you raise money to get an Elgato. And how are you recording the screen? Are you like camera phone on the screen or?
At the time. So I couldn't even afford a phone with a camera yet because it was like 2000. At the time, it was like 2011, 2010. So I was using like a JVC cheap little When you buy a Best Buy. Put it on my friend's like table and then had it pointing towards the screen.
Oh my God.
You couldn't even see that. You couldn't even see the gameplay. You could hear me talking to the screen, and I would be like, "Cleveland Brown plays Call of Duty," and it got like no views. And I was like, "This isn't gonna work."
I gotta come up with something else.
Yeah. I was looking through today. So you still do this, but now it's the production value is a little higher, like actual Let's Play looking things of pure gameplay feeds, and it's just you fucking with people pretending to be Kendrick Lamar. It's the best. Yeah,
that's my favorite, man. That's my favorite. I feel bad with that one because I think it was so convincing because. You know, the president playing Call of Duty is a little bit not realistic. So people would say, you sound like him, but we know it's an impersonation. And with Kendrick, I'll just go in and not even say I'm Kendrick Lamar and be like, hey, man, can you send me to what location where the gun's at, man? And they'd be like, yo, bro, you sound like K-Dot. And I'll be like, how you know my name, doc? And they think it's like real.
Oh, my God. I feel
so bad. They like, I've had guys crying and be like, yo, bro, your album was amazing. And I was like, I should come clean, but then they might like,
that's even worse. That's even worse, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
they opened
heart
up to the fake Kendrick Lamar.
Right.
So then, how many voices do you have in like your repertoire? Like, would you think that you do like I do good enough impressions of these people that I want to put them on YouTube? I want to go like do the bit.
Yeah,
with it.
That's literally a lot of impersonators. Because it is like a hobby for me. It just took off and it's my bread and butter and my everything right now. But I never really considered myself an impressionist per se. And I started doing Cleveland. I was an actor at heart. I did Cleveland, and I was like, then I tried Obama, and then I tried like a mafia boss. And at that time, I was cool doing those. And I started get comments being like, yo, what else you got? What else? And I had the pressure to be like, okay, I can't stagnate myself or marginalize myself. So I had to just kind of like force myself to slowly learn other voices. But I typically stick, I've probably done over like 20 on my channel, but I stick with like the same 10 because it was like, I don't want to be like half-assed with it, you know?
Now, Andy does a really good Obama. Andy, give some of your Obama.
Oh, man, it's definitely not as good as Blessings. I wish we had Blessing here.
I was going to say, it's Blessings Day off, but his Obama is so atrocious.
So the thing is, Arif, like, I pride myself as, like, one of the best impressionists on the planet, most likely. But we have one of our coworkers, Blessing, who, for some reason, wants to mix Obama and Overwatch. I don't know why. He's always saying, Malia, get on the payload, Malia. And I don't know why that's what he goes for, but it's like Blessing. It's very, very limited. But to get it a notch up, what I've always seen when people do Obama impersonations is Sasha, and that's all you got to do. It's just Malia. Right. we got to get over here, you know. And then I'm like Blessing. Just add those little factors to it. But Blessing, he's a lost cause.
He thinks he's got it. He thinks he's too good, cool for school. Well, like, I don't, he refuses to take notes.
He does it once, Greg, and the second try, he gets by.
That's when he starts giggling.
That's when
he starts giggling. Yeah, so it's too much.
Up.
You can't do it. Yeah,
well, Obama's actually a really hard impression, though, because he doesn't have, like, I remember reading Life from New York, and they talked about how they would go and develop impressions specifically of a lot of the presidents. And they were like, Obama doesn't really have a hook. He doesn't have the thing that he does. Like Trump, you know, Trump has his Trump, like many Trumpisms that you can just latch onto that one thing. And then all of a sudden people go, that's Trump.
Yeah,
but racism, I remember them saying like specifically Obama was a, what's that?
Yeah, the racism.
But I remember them specifically being like, it was like Obama was like the hardest thing for people to do because he's just such like a straight arrow when it comes to how he speaks.
Well,
do you find
it,
that to be hard?
Is it Arif? Is it hard?
I personally beg to differ. I understand what they're saying, but I feel like his mannerisms with the, you know, this and them, and then the pauses and stuff.
Yeah,
the long pause. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but like honestly, I think Joe Biden's fucking. I don't know if we can swear, but Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Say
whatever you want. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, Joe Biden is fucking just an old guy, you know, and like everyone. You know, Bill Clinton had his, you know, George Bush had the, you know, the Southern. Obama has the pauses. Trump has the, you know, this, and Joe Biden's just. I don't know. I have not found a good Joe Biden impression on YouTube.
You got to just, people can see you just walk into a wall. That's all you got to do. Just kind of stumble a little bit, walk a little slower than you should, and then get kind of tired real fast.
Just
and then you
malarkey.
Get Joe Biden.
Yeah.
It's the thing where he talks for a long time and he's like squinting, and then he does that smile where he just smiles at the end of it. Like, he nailed it. I'm like, yeah, Joe,
you got there, Joe. You got there.
You got there.
Grandpa.
You crushed that fucking grandpa.
God bless him.
So when you were doing the YouTube, you said you're actor at heart. Did you do that as a creative means and then you were thinking you'd do something else as a livelihood, or were you hoping to be an actor? How does that all get mixed up together?
Yeah, so it started off, and at the, you know, if you look at my about me on YouTube, it says, hey, I'm Arif, aspiring actor, I want to get on the big screen one day. For now, I'll be doing skits, voice impressions, gameplay, singing, all these things I didn't even do. Only just I stuck to the voice trolling thing, you know. I didn't start singing on my channel until like 2018. I haven't done any skits yet because I've gotten so into the gaming. I've gotten so comfortable to the point where it's like nerve-wracking to even think of setting up a skit now. You know, I overthink it.
Real quick, you can update that YouTube description. You don't. It's not like
I know, but I wanted to keep it like set in stone.
Keep it authentic.
Like,
that's awesome. I love it.
But yeah, no, for sure. End goal is to do anything that I, you know, creatively, like a Donald Glover type situation, Will Smith, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Jack Black doing Tenacious D, and then acting and stuff. You know what I mean? Mark Hamill, Joker, Luke Skywalker, two of the coolest roles ever. Stuff like that, you know. So
yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And so then, as it starts evolving, you know, one of the things you brought up was, you know, okay, Mike steps down from Cleveland. That was obviously, at the same time, a whole bunch of different conversations are happening, but it's happening of like, right, hey, maybe white people shouldn't be being minorities in shows. Like, we're talking mm-hmm. about Apu, we're talking about Cleveland, we're talking about the girl from Big Mouth, whose name I forgot. But
Jenny Slate.
But I remember the character name. Missy. All right, we're talking about all these things happening in that conversation. When we get there and you've been doing the Cleveland impression forever, you know, in internet years, had you already, was this a sticking point for you that Mike Henry, a white guy, is doing Cleveland and did, but you're still such a fan. Like, where does that all get mixed up?
Did I care that it was a white guy?
Yeah, like, I don't want to say cognizant because, of course, you're aware of it, right? But, like, mm-hmm. I think as a dumb, white, straight, male, cisgender dude, I was just like, you know, cartoons, whatever. Anybody can play anybody. Not thinking, it'd be awesome to give minorities jobs and, like, have the people they're representing be represented by these people.
Mm-hmm. I personally think, myself included, people of color, honestly, from what I've seen reaction-wise, no one really cared. Unless it was, like, offensive. And I can see how someone can say certain characters are like doing accents or whatever and like do stereotypes of them. I can see that. But I don't really think people care. It's just like in the sense where a job could be provided to a person of color. Why not take that opportunity and present them with more inclusivity, you know, on the show or movie or whatever they're doing. But I think all in all, I think voice acting, you know, shouldn't matter. Honestly, it's just if there's a way that it can be helpful to give someone an opportunity, go for it, you know what I mean? And that's where I felt like I was in that position, and I was so thankful for it.
Oh, sure, for sure. And, you know, you talk about your friends busting in the room, you're like, this is your chance, this is, you know, come on now, you do it all the time. Was there even a fraction of you that thought that was a possibility?
Maybe like 30%, but I was just like, really? I don't know. Like, it to me, I don't think it's been done before, a YouTuber going from a voice acting perspective. You see a lot of YouTubers and internet, social media people going from the platform to film and television. But like voice acting, it was like something unprecedented to me. And I was like, I don't know if that's really good. And then Family Guy, it's not just like it's like a new show coming out of nowhere on. But it's the show. Like, everyone knows what Family Guy is. So I was like, it would be cool. But realistically, I don't know if that's going to be an opportunity, you know. So when I got that email, I went to the bottom to make sure like the signature was there and like the number to Fox and everything. You know, is this real?
You double check like the who's it from to make sure the actual email is correct.
Right?
Is the O in Fox a circle or is it a zero? Like, what's going on?
Right?
Now, by this point, you had already done a lot of, you know, probably big sponsorship things with, you know, when you have a big social following. People want you to, you know, be the face of this or be the voice of that or whatever. So this wasn't too out of the blue, right? It wasn't like somebody puts out an impersonation on TikTok. Like, you've sort of become accustomed to sort of this lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I still got to imagine it's a really big deal, but does it also just seem like kind of just a showbiz type role? Like, oh, I got an audition. Like, how many auditions had you had prior to Cleveland?
For anything voice acting, acting wise, or
you're just anything? Yeah.
Yeah. Only a couple, a handful. I was really in my comfort zone, like I said, with the YouTube trolling thing. And I was just like saying, one day I'll audition when I'm to a point where I'm comfortable. But I feel like I was just, you know, I was in my head about it. And honestly, Cleveland was like the first big one I've done. I did a couple things for like Nickelodeon, stuff like that, and off and on. But that was like the first really big professional audition I've ever had.
What does what does your family think about it as soon as they get the news? Like, what... How does that pop feel?
Oh man, so you know, I had to keep it under wraps for a while, and I told my mom throughout the entire process, and she was happy. And I was skeptical the entire way through. I was so thankful I was like, Mom, this first audition was great. I'm probably not going to get it, but that's all I need. I'm good. She was like, stop it, Reeve, you can get it. And I'm like, realistically, I don't think so. But so after every audition, I'd be like, I did cool, Mom, but I don't think they're going to pick me. And then I'd get another email. And then, so when I finally broke the news to her, she's on the phone and she goes, what? She almost had a heart attack. And then she had to hang up the phone because she was buying a face mask and she didn't pick up for 30 minutes. So I was like, oh God, no.
What happened
to my mom?
Did I kill my mom?
Like, I was like, oh no. And then she picked up and she was just like in tears and happy. She just couldn't contain it. So that was the coolest thing ever, man.
I got a two-part question here. So you were talking about with the Obama thing, like the pausing is like the signature thing. What are the signature things for your Cleveland impression? And then the second part of the question is, now that you are Cleveland, has that changed at all? And like, have you learned the tricks of like, this is the thing I was missing?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I always, you know, a lot of people did Cleveland Brown on YouTube. It's a, you know, like a Kermit the Frog type situation. Everyone does a Christopher Walken, Kermit, Mickey Mouse. A lot of people do Cleveland. But a lot of them will just go, oh, no, ha, ha, ha. You know, the typical, that's nasty stuff. And I was like, a lot of them were going from the old Family Guy clips from like 1999 and just using that. And I was like studying the Cleveland show, like his mannerisms. I know that's another Cleveland line. But like the way he says things, like I noticed other impersonators wouldn't go with it. So instead of saying, oh, he's married, you'd say, oh, he's married. And I noticed no one else really did that type of stuff. And I was like, I'm really paying attention here. So that was that. Different types of, like, he has, like, a southern drawl. He gets gravelly and stuff like that. And once I got the role, I just watched Family Guy every day for, like, 3 days straight. Really, hone in on the, like, intricacies of Mike's performance. So now when I feel like my impression's 10 times better than it ever was. I was getting really comfortable with it. Before getting, because I didn't figure I'd be on Family Guy one day. I just would go up on the game and get reactions, you know?
Sure.
I would get good. It was good enough for people to go, oh, he sounds exactly like him. But upon getting casted, you know, I was like, I got to make sure this is 100%. I've honed in. And those $20,000 mics are going to pick up every little thing too. And honestly, when I first got it, this is with everything. I'm sure we'll get comments. People are all like, this guy's going to suck. Fuck this dude. He sucks. Fuck this, that. And I was like, I really got to make sure that I just don't disappoint anyone. I will regardless. But I was like, I got to make sure that this is like a seamless transition. And I don't want to let the character down or the fans down. So that it's a big thing. But I can't wait for people to hear it. Honestly, I think they'll be pretty pleased.
So is your approach... Sorry, I was going to say. I'm absolutely fascinated by this. Is your approach initially just to be like, hey, let's just nail where the character was when Mike left the role?
Yeah.
So now that you have it, are you interested in you know, the next season? Because I'm sure Family Guy is going to keep going. In sort of evolving that at all? Or is that just something that's going to happen naturally, you think?
I think it would have a natural thing. And luckily, I'm close, really close with Mike and the producers that have been with this character for all these years. So with anything, that would probably be one of their decisions. Like I said, I don't want to be, you know, all of these actors and crew have a rapport. You know, they've been together for decades. And I don't want to come in there and, you know, eventually if we build a relationship, something will, you know, evolve eventually. But sure. I think for now, it's just important to just let them do their thing. And I'm the student and whatever happens, happens, you know, and it's been an amazing experience. They're all so fucking awesome.
Do they love the fact that you have a YouTube channel where you troll people? Or is that something where they're like, we're going to ask him to stop eventually?
So I haven't. Since getting casted, I mean,
we haven't had the talk yet.
Cleveland Brown, please.
You had the talk yet? You're actually Cleveland Brown now.
Exactly. I'll throw it in there. I'll do an Omega video or a Call of Duty, and I'll do voice impressions, and then I'll be like, hey, man, I won't say, it's Cleveland Brown from Fox's TV. Yeah, you know, but I'll just say one or two words, and that's enough. I think just logically... something, you know, this wouldn't be a good thing.
Yeah, because you're not trolling people anymore, right? You're actually like
exactly
the guy that you're the guy now. That's kind of crazy,
right?
It changes the dynamic of everything you're going to do with that character. And this, I mean, did you feel like a more, I don't want to say more responsibility now for it, but I mean, it has to have taken on a different meaning for you, right?
No, 100%.
That's crazy,
definitely, man.
And then my other question is, at what point do you start being like, cool, let me do other voices on the show too? Because like that, I mean, obviously you're settling into this and you're going to nail it. And from what I've heard, I mean, you're going to nail it.
You're like, so Seth, you want to stop being Stewie? I think I could be Stewie.
Well, I mean, that's what's so cool about these shows, right, is that you have all these amazingly talented actors. And I'll never forget when I realized that, like, actors for The Simpsons, for instance, were doing, like, five different roles. I'm like, what? You can do that? Like, how did I – I mean, I'm a dumb kid, right? Now, you can't pass one over on me, Greg Miller. I know your voice.
Nothing gets
you
over his head.
Those.
His reflexes are too fast.
But do you have an interest? Do you have an interest in doing other roles? Like, if they came to you and said, "Hey, we need these other smaller parts," would that be fun for you?
I mean, of course. I mean, I do cutaways too. I do cutaways too. Like the little like, "Hey, Peter, remember when this?" And it'll be a cop. I'll do one of those. So that was cool. I'm doing that.
Oh, you're doing that? Oh, you're already doing that. Cool. That's cool. Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Breaking news. We're breaking news right here, guys.
Well, so how does that work with them though?
I mean, I'm fired. I'm playing.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was my bad. I'll take that one. I'll take that one. You can come work for us. But so how does that work? Do they just go, "Hey, we think you'd be great for this," or because I literally just watched 6 Days to Air, which is the Family Guy doc, or not Family Guy, excuse me, South Park doc, which I've never watched before. And aside from being hilariously dated, I was like, oh my god, these people. They have to keep the actors out in like a lobby, and there's like five of them, and they're there till 4 o'clock in the morning until Trey and Matt like figure out how to finish the show, and then they get to go home. So how does that work for you? Do they look through the script and say, you know, I think Arif would be great for this, this, and this, or is it like, is it ever last minute, or is all that stuff planned out?
Literally, I'll get a script and it'll have highlighted characters, and they'll just say, "Do this."
That's awesome. That's
and
awesome.
And they put the trust in me. Yeah, yeah.
And then it's on you to bring your own spin to it.
What's that?
It's on you to just sort of like, "Hey, I'm going to play this character straight," or put a spin on it, or do something fun.
Well, yeah, luckily, like, what's the direction there? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if they, I feel like they would have done this before COVID. I don't know. But, you know, whenever I'm in the studio, they're on Zoom in my ear. I hear literally producers right in my ear get nitpicking and, you know,
yo,
I'm
this
honing
dude
in
sucks.
On what.
Well, I don't know.
But yeah, to make the voices as good as they can be, or, you know, what the image is also cute. But yeah, so for, I don't want to, yeah, I was going to spoil any accident. If I did like a character, they'd say, try it this way. I feel like that comes with any character, but you know, I'm glad that they're in my ear telling me, you know, how to do it, because I don't know, I'd be very nervous otherwise.
Well, cause yeah, you got to assume that all the other veterans on the show, when they're asked to do the ancillary roles, the ones to the cutaways or whatever, they have a whole crop of whatever. So I got to imagine that sort of anxiety of, all right, well, I do Cleveland and I do Obama and I can make a, I've seen you do Junior as well from Cleveland show. So you have this arsenal, but like, which one's going to impress them the most? I can't imagine like that feeling of going in there like, oh, I hope I don't embarrass myself.
Yeah, yeah, all the time. No, that's all the dude. I'll go in there with the, they probably think I'm so weird, but they can see me on Zoom, but I'll go in there with a bag of honey. I mean, like with the honey bear in it, and then like a thing of tea, and then some water and some
Arif,
gum.
Real quick, is that a shopping bag filled with honey? Yes.
I've been told this is what people do.
I come up with like apple too and everything, just crunch it and then like just suck up the spit. You know, like, guy, just do the
just do the fucking thing. So,
Here's another big question.
Your
I have
line is no. Just say it.
I can't. I got too much. So in normal times when we're not besieged by this god awful pandemic, do they get everyone in the studio to actually do the lines together, or is it still sort of separately
asked.
Recorded? You haven't asked.
I haven't asked. I figured that they would.
Right? I mean, I have to imagine that that's got to be so much freaking fun if they can get even if you're only there with like a few of the other actors just shooting the shit and having fun and finding those characters, right. It's got to be a blast.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't know if they, I feel like they might keep the Zoom thing because they probably realize how, I don't know if they did it before, I don't know, I haven't asked, but I feel like it's way more just easy just to hop on in the morning and go, "Hey guys, what's going on?" and then hop off rather than driving all the way down Burbank and then going in.
I always felt like... Yeah, I'd always felt like that process had changed, because I remember, like, I haven't watched Family Guy in a couple years by now, right? But you name an episode in the first, like, 10 seasons, and I'll tell you what happens and can quote lines. Like, me and Greg are always just randomly saying random shit for Family Guy episodes. And I remember watching part of the documentary, or not the documentary, but maybe it's the episode where they go more behind the scenes. It was on one of the DVD packs. I had, like, all the DVD packs. And in the studio, Seth would be there with Alex Borstein and Mike Henry, and they'd all be there together. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if maybe like Seth's scheduling has gotten too intense, and maybe Alex's scheduling has gotten intense, because I'd be interested about that too. Like, are there still those big meetups where you're in that big circle just kind of riffing off each other, you know?
I mean, I
think that we all do, to my knowledge, I think that we all just, like, a lot of them have like their own studios in their homes at this point and just do, I think.
It's what you're saying earlier, Arif, right? Where this is season 19 you're joining at, right? Like, I think they know each other's timing and the feel, and like, you look at the thing, you see Stewie before it, you know, if you're Lois, how to, you know, piggyback off that, what to go with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes more sense, and that's probably going to be the way it is. But I just imagine, for some reason in my brain, and by the way, I just literally finished last night the last episode of the newest season, which is crazy. I've been going back and watching all the newer ones because I just haven't caught up in Family Guy in a long time. Mm-hmm. And the show is, it's so funny to watch how that show's evolved to being unbelievably self-aware, to the point where they're just making Mila Kunis jokes now. Like, right? there was one episode where Mila was like, "Bad Mom's Christmas out now," and Peter's like, "We're not doing that, Mila. We're not doing that right now." So it's like, obviously sky's the freaking limit, but I just imagine in my brain, I don't know why, I just imagine you guys all sit around the room and it's that black and white photo that we saw from like The Force Star Awakens Wars, where it's like, everyone just sitting there in the room. God, it'd be so fun.
Yeah, have you met Seth?
Not yet.
Man, what a world we live in. That sucks.
I will.
You will, though. You will.
Yeah. But it's what's crazy is, being a fan of Family Guy, and recently I was just watching, like, for an example, I was just watching one of the recent episodes, and there was a joke that I died laughing at. And to be able to, it still feels so fake to me, because going to a table read that morning and saying, "Hey guys, that joke you said in this episode was hilarious," and having them all tell me who wrote the joke and like, thank you. I'm like, this doesn't even feel real. Like, I'm a fan of the show, and I know, seeing all the credits, I know everyone's name now. And it's like,
oh,
wow.
Hell yeah.
Like, these are people I see all these mornings. And another cool thing about the table reads is, since Family Guy is always featuring actors and celebrities and everything, I'll join a table read, and then like, you'll see, like, I don't want to spoil anyone, but
yeah.
This big, you see everyone zoom, you know, everyone, and they see this big actor's like, "Hey man," I'm like, "Oh, hey, what's going on?" And it just comes out of nowhere, and it's really cool. So that's been an awesome experience too.
Yeah, I remember watching through, and I think the earlier seasons they got a Morgan Freeman impersonator, but then I think later they actually ended up getting him, right? I think that he actually did a couple like spots where he just came in and like, "Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman." I was like, "Damn, if they got Morgan Freeman for this, that is unbelievable." Right? Anything can happen on this show.
Exactly.
But that's got to be so. That's always one of the fascinating things about Family Guy, is that like, I'm just referencing 6 Days to Air because I just watched it. But they were talking about how like, it was actually kind of lonely, because you watch Trey Parker and Matt Stone, and they don't. He was like, "We don't have any friends in Hollywood," and he was joking. Mm-hmm. But you're like, I think he's serious. I think these guys have pissed everyone off in Hollywood. And it's their art, and that's, you know, the show they want to put out there. And obviously South Park is what it is. But Family Guy seems to still be sort of in good standing in Hollywood somehow.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated by that.
Just today, Simpsons was renewed for seasons 33 and 34, which doesn't even make sense to me. Like, how is it that high?
What
season of Family Guy is coming up?
20.
This is 19. You're starting at 19.
So I'm confused. I mean, I think, I don't know.
And I think that's Hulu right now.
Yeah, they were saying I'm starting in season 19, but then...
Only 12 episodes in 19, so you might be coming in mid-season.
Well, they also were reiterating that Hulu says 19, but it should actually be 18, but I don't know if that's true.
That makes more sense.
I don't know the full... I could be 20. I don't... Yeah.
Listen, all right, your PR guy said a thing. It says you went from impersonating Cleveland Brown on Call of Duty online matches to officially playing the character starting with the show's 19th season.
That makes sense.
Oh, you don't listen to me. I mean... You got the information on a reef. I didn't get any information. What the hell, guys?
It's because we just want you to show up and have a mustache, Andy. That's your job. Right? Occasionally draw something. That's what.
Yeah, Arif, you know us well enough now. We need you to weigh in on something very important. Should Andy keep the mustache?
Wait, before that, before that, yeah, click on Andy. You can go full screen with him, Arif or Barrett, if you want to. But you want to get in there and get a good look at Andy's mustache. While you do that, I'll remind everybody that this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather on these microphones, each bringing a bullshit topic to bullshit around about bullshit with you. If you like our bullshit, you can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can get each and every episode early. You could be watching it so early, you could be watching it live right now, just like DJ Kento is, Mark Freeman is, Madeline Stanley is, who was way wrong. Madeline thought I would do the intro at 3:27. It's actually 3:37. Nice try, Madeline. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get every show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do. You can write in to be part of the show like so many of you did. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week, twice a week, to get a new episode of the show. Housekeeping for you. Guess what? The MCU in review is back. With WandaVision wrapping up on Friday, we will officially be taking WandaVision and ranking it in the MCU pantheon. You can catch that on youtube.com/kindoffunny, the in review podcast series. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mick, aka at the nanobiologist Abramson. Mick at the nanobiologist Abramson, because there's two things for podcasts, and he did both because he's a crazy person. DJ Kento, Devin Carter, Steve Powers, Ryan Trimble, Kieran O'Donnell, Joy, aka Joseph O'Youssef, Aaron Horan, Billabooey, Billabooey, how's that going? Julian, the gluten-free gamer, Danny Rodriguez, and Rachel Gray. Today we're brought to you by MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, Arif, should Andy keep the mustache?
No, yeah. Let's see.
Jeez, that's a big one.
No, is it? I don't know his face before, so I can't have.
No, I understand. No, he had a full beard before, and then Andy went and raised a bunch of money for charity because he's a good boy. And one of the things was to get it shaved into a mustache. Now he has it, and I think he looks great.
Yeah, it's nice.
I like it, Andy.
It's thicker than mine. If we can trade, then hey.
Well, I mean, do you have the connection right here, Arif? Are you able to connect? Because I am not.
Can you connect? Me neither.
Absolutely not. No, it's right. my Latin bloodline does not allow the mustache and the beard to connect, unfortunately. But the beard wasn't much longer. It was just the problem with the thing. I think it was a blessing in disguise. I shaved the mustache and realized, well, I need to lose weight. Quarantine has really not done a lot of favors for me. Because it looks fine on camera, but that's the camera angle. Otherwise, it's just like, who is this person? What's all this? What's this? A lot of stuff happening down here for podcast listeners. Under the chin area is what I'm trying to emphasize. So I don't know if I want to just keep the mustache. I'm just going to slowly grow the beard back.
If you keep the mustache, don't you think it'll keep you motivated to keep eating the salads and working out? Because you were telling me today you're eating salads.
It's like, Greg, it's like if you forced me to always work with my shirt off, I'd be like, you know what? Wow.
I gotta do something here.
If this is gonna look like this, I gotta work on this. Yeah.
Sure. Sure. That's understandable. That's understandable. Ladies and gentlemen, while we have a break, let's have a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Kind of Funny podcast is brought to you by MeUndies. You might remember a few weeks ago, I got to do a MeUndies ad off the top of my dome because I love MeUndies so much and I wear them all the time, but it devolved into me saying you should send people in the neighborhood MeUndies and act like a dead grandparent, so they gave me more copy. It's time we stopped messing around about funny things and talked about something really serious and important. Your underwear. MeUndies believes undies are something that should be yelled about from the top of the rooftops, but not brought up about dead grandparents or shown off in a mirror selfie on Instagram. They're not undie shy, so let's talk. Like I said, I love my MeUndies. You know that I wore one pair once, I ordered one set of pairs. Liked them so much, threw away the rest of my underwear, ordered more MeUndies, and I continue to do that to this day because I love them. Of course, Tim loves them so much. He wears the lounge pants, the shirts, everything MeUndies he's got. MeUndies isn't just underwear, though. It is also a way to make every booty comfortable, and there's no limiting the amount of laundry. Oh, and it also limits the amount of laundry you have to do. They designed a membership that now saves you 30% on each order, but delivers a fun pair of undies or socks right to your door each month. Plus, you're the boss. You can control your shipments and also get early access to their most exclusive prints. MeUndies is offered in a range of sizes from XS to 4XL. And now that everyone is work from home, they also offer the softest loungewear. Fill your closet with things you'll actually want to put on. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off and free shipping. Again, It's first time purchasers, 15% off, and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product or for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. To get your 15% off your first order and free shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. They didn't pay me to say this part, but if you want to trick somebody into thinking their dead relatives are sending them, go to MeUndies.com/morning and send it to them with the dead person's name on it. Tim, you sent something to assets earlier. Do you want to address it?
Ooh, what did I send to assets?
It was something you said you wanted to bring up on the show.
Andy did that. It was Andy. Do you want to take this, Andy?
Tim told me to send it.
Thank you. I knew Tim was involved with it. Why is it like this?
Tim told me to send a video to assets. It's just something that's been going viral on Twitter. It is from the Milwaukee Bucks basketball game. You know, there's usually a kiss cam.
Sure.
Couples are, should we kiss or not? It's always a little funny thing. But they introduced the hand sanitizer can. And it is unfortunate how it looks when presented up on the big screen. Because you got fans.
Oh, no.
Just getting stuff shot at.
It's so good.
And it just goes on to more people.
They know what they were doing.
It's in her hair now. Oh, no. Why would you do this?
It's just an unfortunate thing to do.
See, this is why I'm always scared about moving forward in life without young people around me, or with young people around me, rather, because this is totally the thing that I'd be like, Tim, is this a good idea? And Tim would be like, yeah, Nick, it's a great idea. Great.
Catch it, dude.
Catch it. All right, Tim, I'm catching it. And then, oh, damn it, Tim, you got me.
It's so absolutely unfortunate.
Good man.
Yeah, Arif, do you think that let's get back to your career really quick. Sorry, I didn't want to make this a podcast about you watching videos with us.
Oh no, please.
So obviously this is a great starting off point for a voice acting career. You've already had like the fame with YouTube and stuff like that. Are there any roles that you could see yourself playing in the future? Are there any directors you want to work with when it comes to voice acting? Are we talking like Pixar in the future? What's the goal, and where do you see your voice acting career going forward?
Oh my God. Yeah. So Pixar is, so there's top three things. Pixar is 100% up there. Disney Animation Studios too. DreamWorks, of course. I'm a big fan of, I've always wanted to do some mocap stuff. Work with like, end goal of mine is either Naughty Dog or Rockstar one day.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
Troy Baker vibes. I want to be, the Black Nolan North, Black Troy Baker, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
But that would be awesome. Avatar, I'm a big fan of Avatar. I know they're making 5 movies, so.
a lot of opportunity now.
Right?
They're adding 9 more. They're adding 9 more movies to the Avatar slate. Yeah, it's going to be a 16-parter.
Oh, God. I'm sure they're going to make a freaking show about Avatar one day, 100%.
And it'll be on one already announced. It'll be on one of the 9 streaming services, yeah.
Right. Pandora or some another sort of thing. Who knows?
A prequel series, yeah.
Right?
Now, Greg, when we started off this podcast, Greg mentioned, now you're one of us, meaning you are a gamer. What are you playing now? What were your top games of last year?
How much is Little Nightmares 2 paying you to have it on behind you the entire time?
I'll take two off.
There it is.
What am I playing now?
Yeah.
Right now I'm currently playing Dishonored 2. I've never played them before. I'm excited for Deathloop.
Hell yeah.
So I'm going through Arkane's little gamography here.
Yeah, Deathloop looks dope.
I know, I can't wait.
Right.
What are my favorite games of last year?
Not only last year, but just anything in your, what are some games that you could highlight that our audience could go, oh, fuck yeah, this guy is really cool. He was cool before, now he's real cool, yeah.
Okay, like I said, I'm a big, anything Naughty Dog drops, I'm there, you know what I mean?
You already made it, yeah, everybody loves you now.
I'm going to get hate. I love Abby, let's fight everybody. I'm playing.
Oh, it's all good, no, we love
it. That's the right call. Was that your game of the year last year?
100%, oh yeah. That, obviously, game is incredible. What else?
The performance isn't that just were stunning. I can't wait for the eventual documentary like we got with the God of War documentary, which was an amazing hour and a half or whatever. I don't know how long it was. Nick, did you ever watch the God of War documentary?
I actually did not. But I should.
Really damn good.
But I also feel like I feel bad because I only played like an hour and a half of God of War and I was like, this is not for me. And then Tim's like, you're crazy. And then I played an hour and a half of Spider-Man on PS4 and I was like, this is not for me. And then Tim was like, you have to leave this company. Yeah. You can't be a part of this company. And
he's like, you know what? I love Warzone.
Something's wrong with
I do love Warzone. What do you want from me, man? It's a competitor's game. You get better at it. It's human on human contact. That's what we need.
It's human on human contact. Exactly.
It is, man. It is. It's so fun. I mean, literally, I tuned into Snowbike Mike's stream last night and watched Andy just frag out. It made me feel closer to him. And then I did the corporate taxes. So that was
You did our work taxes. Oh man, it's unfortunate.
I just want to tell you guys while you've been talking, I haven't been paying attention. Shocker.
Yeah.
I've been actually photoshopping Magnum PI's mustache onto Andy just so we could see where it could go.
The potential.
So I'm going to throw this in assets right now, Barrett. And I just want you guys to know, like, this is what you're missing out on right now.
Andy, do you think, will it grow in nice and thick, you think? Or, I mean, do you feel like
this is the apex.
This is it, right?
The apex.
Oh my gosh, this photo. What?
Barrett, shit, throw that up there. Oh, man. See, I don't want that. That's a Gonzo for Gordo move more than I think that's.
Well, I mean, you know, it's definitely it's blonder than we think that Andy's might come in here. You can see how amazing it is. It's gone. Yeah, there it is, right there. You see how amazing it is just to have that fullness, Andy. You feel like the power you're working with there.
I just don't know if my mustache hairs can even start that high. Like that's. There's so much height there. There's a lot of height work.
There is a lot. It does have a nice little curve
off. Starting like way the fuck up here.
It's like Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah.
Andy, I thought you might say that. So I actually did Burt Reynolds see. And I kind of, I colored it just a little bit. I color corrected it just a little bit. So I'll put that in assets right now.
Okay, fantastic. Well, you're doing great on this
podcast, bit more indicative of what's going to come through. For you here, of course, my internet's slow as shit, so it's gonna go up there in about 15 minutes.
We'll get back. We can.
There it is, right there. I feel like this is a look right here.
Now, who is this?
This is Burt Reynolds. This is older Burt Reynolds after he did sort of like the gray hair for men thing, where he dyed it a little bit.
Okay, so this is what he's in. This is Striptease. What was the strip one he was in?
Boogie Nights.
No. What?
Again, this does look like nose hairs are growing out.
This definitely looks like, Andy's nose hairs. Also, why did you pick like Andy's most disappointed look?
That's every look Andy always gives. He's never not giving a disappointed look on this podcast. It's I have to imagine Andy's constantly reevaluating all the choices that led to him working for us. And it's just a constant stream of disappointment for him.
Yeah,
it happens. Absolutely. Yeah, don't worry about that. Yeah. Arif, I know we're running out of time with you. One question I did have for you: you talked about waking up in the morning, going into these calls, and doing it. How have you wrapped the season? Like, what's the production schedule like for doing The Voice of Cleveland?
It's usually sporadic in a sense where they'll email you and say, "Can you come in this day, this week, next week?" They'll give you a time frame if you're available. It's pretty, pretty open because Cleveland isn't as like, Peter or like a, you get, not as much lines. So you can like go in whenever and do it for 30 minutes and you're good.
Gotcha. Sure.
When did the recording start? Because I know it takes a while to make cartoons. Mm-hmm. Like when did you, obviously the season's coming pretty soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fall is when it's supposed to happen.
Is in the fall? Okay. So I'm just trying to imagine what the timeline is like. When did you actually when was your first day? I don't even know if you could let us know.
Don't get fired. Don't give us anything in trouble.
Yeah, first day that I started recording.
Yeah, yeah, like just a time frame. Was it last year or was it?
Yeah, it was sometime last year. I can't remember. It's at least 3-4 months in.
Got it. Okay.
Let's say.
Interesting. Mm. It takes a long time to make those cartoons. Nick is still sending mustaches, by the way.
This one is called Greg's Mustache on Andy, and it's the most disturbing bear if you want to bring that up. But I don't know why. I appreciate that you worked so hard on the Burt Reynolds and Magnum PI one so that like they would look even better. So then I'm kind of offended that you did not work harder on this one.
I don't have a high res photo of you. So I just took a little screen grab from here. And
you can just go to the internet. You could just go to the internet.
This is disgusting.
And put... Yeah, this like, is really gross.
This looks like you just took Andy's bottom chin and like flipped it.
It looks like a piece of flesh that was like cut off of somebody. Yeah, and put onto
it looks like pud on this on the
onto
lip,
my face.
You know,
Greg? At least Nick does the taxes for the company. You know.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got our best men on the job.
Top man.
I appreciate. Yeah, Nick does taxes. That's good enough for my me. That gets it done. Yeah.
So I've often thought when watching normally anime and stuff about doing voice acting work for it and how much you actually read the script. And I'm sure it's different for a comedy thing like Family Guy, but how much of the script are you reading, or are you kind of just looking at the pages
just
you're on
sides.
And who you're reacting to and that type of stuff?
Yeah, well, usually I go to my highlighted lines, remember that, but luckily we're in a space where we do the table reads for every script that I get. So I just wait until it comes out naturally. You know what I mean?
Awesome. Yeah. So when you do table reads, are you reading a whole episode, or is it kind of like bits and pieces?
Whole episode.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Now, have you yet to get through one without everyone dying laughing, or is everyone at this point just like, we're coming in, we're doing our job, we're going home?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they laugh. They laugh every time.
Good.
That's good. They're still into it. They still like it. And so then, before we let you go, what does all this mean? You know, we talked about you're still obviously doing your YouTube channel. Like, has it impacted your production? Do you still want to do as many videos? Or do you still see yourself doing that indefinitely?
Yeah, I still think I always do my channel. Whether it starts to transform into more of a lifestyle thing as I get more jobs, so there were, you know, I'll sure. always just thing in my platform and my fans. I'll never, you know, leave them in the dust. But I have initially gotten a little slower right now, because my schedule has been so crazy this past
sure,
few months.
I bet.
But yeah, I can't wait to get back into the nook and start, you know, really honing in and getting back to where I was before. But yeah, I won't stop.
Do you stream at all?
No.
No. Okay.
I think I might start. I just bought a PC, so it should be coming soon. I'll start there. But a Mac is not good for streaming. It's
no. Yeah. Because an interesting thing is I was just telling Tim and Nick this the other day that we got tagged in some tweets saying, a buddy of mine actually tagged us and said, I really want to watch the Kind of Funny Guys play with Thomas Middleditch from Silicon Valley. Mm. And also Middleditch and Schwartz. He's just a very, very funny improv guy. And I happened to see that he was live at the time and he was streaming on Twitch, and he was streaming on the Grand Theft Auto role-playing server. I don't know if you are aware of what this is, but this is just a super custom modded out server where
the GTRP?
Yeah, the GTRP, yeah, the no pixel server. And
yeah,
Thomas Middleditch is on there and streams quite frequently, it seems, and plays a role, and it's one of the funniest things ever. And it just seems like such a great way to drive traffic to your personality and say, like, you're a gamer. You're not faking this. There, you know, there's some people in the industry that, you know, don't necessarily play a whole lot of games, but
Tim,
like, you're in. No, I meant more in like the acting. I meant more in like the acting world, you know. But you're obviously into this, and I think that would be so cool to watch, you know, Arif play, you know, the role of, you know, some I don't know. I think Thomas Middleditch's character was, he was a driving instructor, and then he kind of just started going crazy and murderous. And I think that's just like such a cool creative outlet to kind of make this character and have audiences come to you and say, hey, I'm the voice of Cleveland and I'm streaming on Twitch, because I would sub to that so fast. I would subscribe
thanks,
to that
man.
So fast.
That's funny that I was just actually thinking, not the streaming part, yeah, but that's, yeah, I'll do that. I was actually thinking about going to GTRP and starting content on there, so that'd be great. Yeah.
Hell yeah. It's perfect.
Really into that.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, Arif, thank you so much for your time and congratulations on everything, man.
Thank you guys so much. Thank
very,
you.
Very, very
awesome.
Cool, dude.
Yeah, this is rad, man. Great meeting you up. Like I said, I've been loving your content forever. The one thing that I want to give you an extra shout out for is when you do the rap parodies, when you are doing the impressions while rapping, I love that you rewrite the verses to be with the characters. Because that's that extra thing on top that's like making it like your own and not just kind of doing what everyone else does of like, hey, it's a different voice for a song that everyone already knows. Love that shit.
Yeah, right. No, I got it. Thanks, man.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Congratulations. This fall, new season of Family Guy featuring you. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Thanks, so have a good one.
All right, bye.
See you, man.
And then Big Daddy Barrett, yeah, we'll need you to bring it up to a four-person thing as we say goodbye to Arif, because we're going to keep podcasting. But okay.
I didn't know that. Okay,
you can put one. It's of that thing where you know, I don't.
I like to keep
want.
You posted. This is fine, honestly. This is no. This it's is the not. Three most MP. This is the three most important people. Just go back and then it's done. You don't have to worry about it.
Beautiful.
Tim just leans to his left. He's in the shot. It's fine.
Tim and Andy look like there Time Cop, where they just became one gooey thing.
Same matter can't occupy same space. What a nice young man he was.
Yeah, I'm so happy for awesome, him, man. That's so cool. And what an awesome opportunity to be able to work on shows like that.
It's like, just so crazy. Can you imagine like being a fan of it and then it building up to that and then you actually get the call?
It reminds me of Josh and Jeopardy. Sure. And how
except this was a success.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh didn't work out for him right there. I wasn't going to say that, but...
Josh was, you know, like, should I commit to my dream or have a kid? Oh, I'll have a kid. And that's that was the end of that.
Big
you know?
Yeah.
His kid is really cute.
Rosie's adorable.
I will say, everyone on this show right now and everybody at home, you need to check out his YouTube channel and just click around. Like, he has so many different videos. So many of them are mega hits. And they're so clever and good. Like, if there's so many, it's layered. Every single layer just has something to it that is just fantastic content. I was shocked to see that he has 6+ million subscribers.
Crazy.
They're well deserved, man. It is like really quality content.
Well, he said he's been doing it since what, 2006 or something like that? That's amazing.
In different forms, yeah.
I don't know why Nick didn't offer up his walk-in. I'm really
When he said walk-in, I looked at Nick's little cube to see if he was going to do anything.
Andy, in the presence of real talent, I shut up. It's just among you guys that I'm so talkative. I just want you to know that.
Okay, turn it around on us, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're photoshopping mustaches on my face.
That's your talent. That and doing taxes.
Hey, got a good tweet out of Greg's. That's good.
Yeah, we're good promotions happening out there. That's all that matters. Don't worry
about
it.
Perfect. All that matters.
I'm scrolling through the old topic stuff here, seeing what I like, what's going to stick out to me. You know what I mean?
If where you had do we want to go? Four arms or four legs, what would you prefer?
Four arms,
yeah, that'd be cool. Because you can learn how to walk on your arms.
Yeah, and I could still use my hands, and I'd have extra thumbs too.
And then in a fight, you'd have to be able to defend four chokes.
Okay, but
do we still
this.
Have our two of the other, or is it in place?
No, I think it's you're losing one of the other two, they have a pair.
Hands.
Yeah, because the problem I was thinking about though is just how, you know, your torso would stay the same length and your arms would be in replace of your legs, so you would lose a lot of height. You would lose.
Short legs already, so it doesn't matter.
I immediately jump to yeah. How else. Do I? Can I? I just want to be able to play video games the way I know. I know I can learn to use my feet. I see plenty of people do that, but that's just not what I want to do.
Video gaming is a great point, Greg. Yeah, because I'm thinking. I think in fights, I would be really useful just having the heel of my, those would be my weapons. If I had two heels on my feet, if I had four legs, and I would just be like, I would be a menace in the ring.
Well, you'd have a lot longer of a reach if you had four legs, because, you know, obviously your arms are shorter than
your
legs.
And I'd be taller than everybody. Everybody would pick arms.
Yeah, it would be pretty hardcore, man. I'll be honest with you right there. But like day-to-day operations, going to Starbucks, grabbing a Starbucks might be a little harder than you want it to be. So I'm with Tim on this, I think.
What's Tim doing?
What do you think?
He's doing something.
Tim's doing sidekicks with his arms.
Tim's trying to figure out
how long my arm is. Because I have alarmingly short legs.
It's definitely like going to be a foot shorter than your legs.
Yeah, it's going to be shorter than your legs for sure.
It's going to be a foot shorter. Like if I lean over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, what's always confused me, though, is like the thing of like if you hold your arms out, like that's how tall you are. Like my wingspan should be as tall as I am.
No, I don't think that's a real urban legend.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I saw it
it's
on
like
TikTok.
When you're a kid and they're like, you
TikTok,
take your middle
they put
finger.
The marks.
And also, like, oh, if you jerk off, you grow hair on your palms.
Yeah.
I remember
you
know, on TikTok,
and you're telling us that too. And your friend, like,
we can Google it right now, Barrett, Google that. But I just want everyone to know that sometimes, Tim, when you know, when they snap their fingers on TikTok and they're in a different dress, they're not actually using magic.
Yeah, but I doubt that the people doing this had photoshopped markings on their doorways of how tall they are. So.
Fair. Hey, I don't know, man.
This is
what's been the fun adventure of being a podcaster for the last 5 years is just being everything that I've ever thought was correct is totally wrong. And it's Kevin usually that tells me that, which is extra hard for my ego to take.
What is your pants size?
Let's see what Barrett's got. Barrett's got
on Wikipedia. The arm span measurement is usually very close to the person's height.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you go. Mine is mine.
Tim, let me see your arm span.
Mine is mine.
Yeah, but some people's
that looks about right. That checks out.
So much longer.
I can't tell at all. I like your sweatshirt, though. That's cool.
But what are your what are your pants length sizes?
30.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I do a 36, 32, right? Isn't that how it works? 36 yeah. length, 32 waist? No, so no, 36 waist, 32.
32 is your length.
Yeah. 32 yeah. sounds about right, yeah. I have a 30-inch. My legs are usually 30 when I get them. And that usually ends up being okay, yeah.
See, I'm 30. Like I also wear 30, and I have to roll it up at the end.
But you wear your pants really low. You wear your pants low on your butt.
You do. You can pull your butt. You can pull the mom jeans on, put them up to your nipples.
Yeah. I don't know, bigger ones.
I think that's probably one of the most disappointing things in the world is that your waist is below, for fat people like me, is below your gut. Like the waist should be underneath the gut, but in fact, it's right on your hips, which then gives you the weird double gut when you do that. And it's like, fuck that. And that's why you wear your pants low. And that's why your crack's showing all the time. But it's more comfortable that way. And it doesn't make you feel as fat. So there you go, everybody.
See,
what I'm saying is we got to change the waist.
Technically, your waist is way higher.
On the top of your hips, right?
Hashtag change the waist.
So where's your waist supposed to be? Your fucking belly button?
Above your belly button, actually, I think. It's like where your ribs meet your.
Think about
your.
Think about an hourglass figure, and yeah, but like right in like the center, right below the center of the hourglass.
That's waist, yeah. So like okay, when people wear high-waisted jeans, they're actually wearing it on their waist. Those are where your waist normally is.
But people wearing their jeans where we wear our jeans, that's where you're supposed to wear your jeans. You're not supposed to wear
that's
your
where
jeans.
The jeans are designed to be worn.
Fashion dictates, but then you got that ass crack hanging out. You got that ass crack hanging out.
Yeah, but back in the day, Tim, when it was like the 20s to the 50s, pants, when they make pants for you, that's where your waist. That's why when you go watch like people from like, you see people in suits in like 1940s, like detective movies or whatever, they got, if you look, their pants are pulled up to like their actual waist and they just look like they have really long legs. So you could rock that look if you wanted to do like high-waisted jeans.
Apple-bottom jeans.
Jeans.
Boots with the fur.
Fur.
But okay, in 2021, in 1980, no one's wearing their pants or jeans or anything over their belly button.
Not over the belly button, but they were wearing them higher for sure. If you Google like 1980s jeans, they're higher. Like the crotch is like a lot longer looking than they are now. What happened was 90s, obviously, like baggy jeans started coming into the thing, and that's where jeans started to sag. And then, of course, we had the low-rise jean of the late 90s, early 2000, which was just way too low, if you ask me. Now, looking back on it, when we were in the middle of it, we're like, this feels right. But then looking back on it, we can all agree it's a little too low.
Do you think humans are evolving? Our torsos and our waists are just stretching because of the genes? You know, like over time, you know how, you know, back in Jesus Christ times, everybody was a little tiny kid.
They just were
like 4 feet tall. And now we're growing taller. For example, me, very tall. I always wonder, you know, because they talk about how cell phones are going to really drastically change the human form because we're always hunched over, we're always looking down, and we're going to, like, future years, in 100 years, we're just going to be like this creature that's also living underwater because of climate change. So maybe we can swim better with our new form. I don't know.
There's some pros to this plan.
You just roll through the water like a ball, like a pill bug.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you create like a little air pocket in between. You create like an air pocket in the little crotchal area. Like you're just
absolutely.
Like a little ball.
That's what the high-waisted jeans are going to be for. You're going to hold all the air right on the top crotch area. You can just get in there, suck the air out of your jeans.
Yeah.
Keep swimming.
When I have kids, they're going to be like always kind of like this because of keyboard mouse. Like they're always going to be kind of like.
Are you going to raise a bunch of loser dorks? I didn't know that.
Mass, and now they're going to be super strong. All of them. They're going to be all real.
This army of Andy's kids.
Well, yeah, the way you're doing it, they have no neck.
They have the Bill Goldberg lats, you know? Like their back and muscles are just gigantic, Greg. They're huge. These kids are
gigantic. My shoulders are sore, Andy, from all the Warzone I've been playing lately. Actually starting to keep me up at night. I got to start stretching my like upper body now, and I've never had to do that before in my life. Like I've got like just right here, just the pain that I feel like I've worked out, but the muscles, it's definitely not that. It's just definitely just like the stiffness of sitting.
You need to get a little
Theragun.
Oh, I forget to use keyboard mouse because I cannot wait for my standing desk. I cannot wait to get out of bed and just like stand up, turn on the computer, and just kind of like, get my back stretched. And I always do like jumping jacks in the morning. I always do push-ups in the morning and just like stand up for the rest of the day. Maybe I get one of those because I think in this thing that I'm being sent, there's also a balance board that you stand on.
Oh my God, you're going to fucking, that's going to wreck your glutes. Your ass is going to be so sore from that. Like your legs and ass are going to be so sore.
I'm really excited. Thing. It's not that high off the ground, but it's enough to kind of make sure to keep you in check. Like you got to stay balanced on it. And it's almost like sitting on one of those exercise balls, but it's probably different than that. I don't know for sure. But I'm looking forward to it.
You'll find out. And I'm sure we'll hear about it here on the Kind of Funny Podcast. Yeah. We'll
if you want to keep up with all of Andy's physical activities and standing desks, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny.
Where That's were we that I was talking about the exercise ball?
We're talking about a BOSU ball the other day on something.
BOSU.
I think it was on the Warzone stream where I said BOSU. BOSU ball. And Mike was like, what are you talking about? I was like, it's the big bouncy balls that everyone gets at their desks so they can increase core strength while they're sitting. And then I think that led you over to,
That led me to the coworker I worked with who had like a BO issue, but also wore a lot of cologne, like very, very, very strong cologne.
They had body odor and then also cologne
to cover up the body odor.
Yes. And he, every time he would walk by you, it was just like, oh, like it would hit you, you know? Yeah. But the chair, like when, you know, he would leave at a whatever time and I'd be there with my supervisor Hutch and I would go like sit on the ball next to Hutch and I would sit on it and it would just like a waft of scent would, I was like, a waft of scent.
Hutch, by the way, not a real name. That's how I know the stories.
Mike Hutchison.
That's like
the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
That is when you call your buddy Hutch, that is such a cool movie
Mike Hutchison,
like best
man.
Friend name.
Yeah.
It has to be real because Andy only name dropped it to ensure that he knows if he ever were to listen to this that he isn't the stinky one.
Oh, no, he knows he's not the stinky one. No, I love Hutch. No,
does the stinky one know he's the stinky one?
Bernie Burns.
I don't know.
Gus Cirola.
That's why Bernie left.
What is Gus
couldn't handle
like?
The shame.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, I will not be judged for my Axe body spray.
Man, I had a friend one time, though, when we served food, he had an allergic reaction to deodorant and like the antiperspirant. And got like a really, really, really bad rash every time he would use it. And so they were like, you can't use deodorant anymore. And he had to use like organic, like this thing that he'd have to rub on himself. It was like a ball of chalk. It did not work. And I always felt so bad for him because he was stinky. And it was unfortunate. Yeah. And we're working in a restaurant. We have to raise your arm a lot to like get things over stuff. And like you're moving around and you're reaching over people's tables. And I'm like, wow, there's like a that's unfortunate for this particular line of work.
Oh man, this is such a weird turn. We got off into such a weird thing here. I love it.
Have you never watched this podcast
no,
before?
I
need you to go with it.
Yesterday I posted photos of homemade cheesy gordita crunches I did. Jen was found a recipe on Half Baked Harvest. It was, hey, here's how to make homemade cheesy gordita crunches. I was like, hell yeah, let's go do it. That's my favorite Taco Bell thing. Made them. They were dynamite. And then I had the leftovers and I made sure I packaged everything in the fridge so that I could make more in the morning or I could make some for lunch or whatever. And I the 10-minute break I had, I went over there and assembled it exactly the right way. And I put up the photo and Gus Cirola responded on it. This looks just like the cheesy gordita crunches my abuela or the Spanish abuela. Word for grandmother. Thank you very much. Used to make for me when I was a little boy, and I laughed for about 10 minutes straight last night seeing that. I thought that was just the funniest thing.
Funny.
It was just as because you can hear Gus delivering it. Yeah. You know, I haven't Dead talked to Gus in so long because I usually talk to Gus in Austin, and so like just for him to come out and drop that randomly in on my cheesy gordita crunch thing, I thought that was the funniest fucking thing in the world. This leads to a question, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know. Tim wasn't. I wasn't sure if he was ready for it because he did the thing. Neo JD says, "Has the COVID situation impacted how often you reach out to your friends? I know before you'd often meet up at events and such, but is it easier now to keep in touch with most people in your field? Is everyone is working from home?" Nicholas. Douglas Scarpino.
Nicholas Mike Douglas Scarpino.
Has COVID impacted the way you reach out to your friends?
It has, but in very strange and ways that have some very good pros and some very bad cons to them. I've actually been able to keep up with people a lot more because now people are a little bit more receptive to like doing Zoom stuff, and like comedians specifically are doing like hey, let's all hop on Discord and do like a little writer circle and hang out and see each other and goof around, which is cool. And obviously I'm playing more games too, which is great and gives me a great opportunity to like, hey, what are you doing at 10 o'clock? I'm playing Warzone, but come play Warzone with me and let's catch up and talk shit to each other and stuff like that too. But it's also made me have to be more responsible about reaching out and like scheduling FaceTime with my family and with people that I care about that under normal circumstances, I'm like, our worlds will collide. There will be, if nothing else, Christmas will push us together and we will be able to hang out. And now we don't have that. So you have to really be an adult and be like, fuck, I gotta be the person that like texts my mom and is like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? You want to get a FaceTime together? And then, you know, she doesn't text me back for 4 days. And I'm like, what does that mean, Elena? What does it mean?
Maybe she did text you back and you just didn't look at your phone.
No, she just doesn't check her phone ever. Oh. I text my dad to text my mom.
Run to the family.
She doesn't check it. Yeah.
How dare you. Tim, are you interacting with your friends? How has COVID impacted how you interact with your friends?
I mean, I think it's impossible for it not to be different just because everything in our lives is so different. Sure. I think I'm lucky that I have such a close-knit group of friends and so many multiple different close-knit group of friends. Like, you know, I have you guys, I have my like more SF people, and then I have the industry group of people that I count outside of Kind of Funny. And definitely with those people, I think it's been less because we don't go to conventions, so we don't get that RTX or that E3 totally. Or that PAX or whatever. And like, that really fucking sucks. Can't wait for that. We've talked about that a lot, obviously, but it's going to be great to be able to hang out with Blaine Gibson again. You know, these people that I've had a friendship with for years, but that friendship is reliant on the 2 to 3 times we'd see each other every year that we don't have now. But besides that, like, ironically, I feel closer to you guys than ever. Like, I think just like the way that these shows work and stuff, like, it feels, this part of the job feels less like a job than it used to in the studio to me. Mm-hmm. This feels way more like hanging out.
Sure.
And it feels way more like catching up with friends, no matter what it is, even though now we have 2 podcasts a week, like, it still feels fresh. And it is always something I'm still looking forward to these podcasts, which I think is really good. But otherwise, I think the biggest thing that's bumming me out is, you know, I've been brainstorming at the very least this theater my entire damn life, and now I have it and I can't share it with anybody. It's like, this is the most Twilight Zone ass, I have all the books to read but my glasses are broken type shit.
The third magic genie trick.
Yeah, exactly.
Or rule. No.
And wish. You know, I've don't been building it out like little by little by little, and a lot like from home. It's been looking dope for a long time, but like there's been little incremental like advancements over the last year. And I just freaking want people to come over and watch shit. I love sharing shit with people. It's like my favorite thing. Like Internet Explorers is like the most Tim Getty show ever, because I just like showing people things that I like and enjoying it with them for the first time. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that's been a major bummer. It's been great for me and G, but, and for Joey while she was here. But yeah, that I can't wait till I can actually invite as many people over as I possibly can so we can all sit here and watch dope shit.
Andy, what about you?
I definitely think it has. And I had some friends reach out to me that are not like from the industry or whatever, just from back home. Either friends that live from back home or friends that have eventually moved away from the RGV but live in LA or whatever, that reach out to me for my birthday and are like, yeah, let's catch up. And like with most people, I will say, yeah, let's catch up. And then nothing happens because when I'm off of here, it's like, all right, am I going to stream? Or when I'm off of here, ooh, I want to play that game. And I find myself doing the thing that happens a lot with my parents where, you know, I'll go a week without calling my parents and I'll be like, oh, fuck, I got to call my parents. You know, it's definitely been long enough. And I just put it off and, you know, oh, I'll call my dad after I go to the grocery store. And I go to the grocery store, come home, completely forget. And then I just play a game and, you know, go on stream or whatever. To Tim's point about this feeling less like a job, it honestly feels like we've just been kind of having big sleepovers, if that makes sense.
Totally.
100%. Yeah.
Like, because we're always kind of in this online state, and I wake up and I, you know, I kind of do like my exercises and then I'll turn on the webcam and turn on the computer, and then it feels like, oh, they're awake now. Like it's stream time or whatever. And what are we playing today with Mike and Nick? You know, that's it does, it has been a lot of fun from our end, I think. And yeah, I really do feel, because I get to hear what's been happening throughout the day, whether I'm on a show or whether I am just listening through stream, it, like, I feel like we are closer with each other now because of all of this. But yeah, I definitely need to be better about getting back to friends, just because I don't know, I just get so preoccupied and then I have an awful memory. I need to do the calendar thing. I need to set calendar reminders.
Well, I think part of it too is, at least for me, right? Because yeah, obviously COVID's affected how we talk to each other. Obviously, I think the Kind of Funny podcast in particular has been like such a saving grace. And I think it's been why so many people have flocked back to it to watch it after maybe taking time off or not having it as a priority for them as a YouTube video or a podcast, because it is literally us just hanging out and catching up. But I think what that means to me personally, right, is that I inevitably, streams are helping, but inevitably what that means is that I don't talk to the other Kind of Funny members about anything but work. Where it's like, you know, I mean, I talk to you guys on this show about our lives because that's what this show is. This show's just bullshitting around and talking about whatever it is you want to talk about. Whereas like when I host with Games Daily with Gary, like, you know, him and I were starting to actually, we'd always been friends, don't get me wrong, but we had actually both made the thing of like, we got to actually hang out in person, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we started doing that right as COVID started. And so it's like, I don't have an update on what's going on with his daughter, right? Like, I talked to Barrett and bullshit with him during PS I Love
his
You.
His daughter's whatever, 20 now, you know that?
I heard that, you know what I mean?
Gone to Harvard.
Running for governor. I talked to Barrett, but you know, I don't know what's going on with him and Alyssa, and outside of like they, you know, Lulu, like that Lulu is a thing that's happening. And part of that, of course, is like, all of our lives are kind of the same rinse and repeat to an extent. But then the other part is like, you know, like we miss that thing we had in the office, which was when you're not on a show, that's when you're bullshitting around. Or if you're not, when you're not on a targeted show, where you're not on like a Games Cast, a Games Daily, an in review where you're talking about something specific, you know, that's when you bullshit around and actually keep up with each other. And so, yeah, for friends, the thing I find is like, you know, Scott Lowe and his wife Cindy, like we'll do Zoom calls with them and Jen, so me and my wife and them. And I don't know why I'm having such a hard time putting that together in a sentence, but like it's that time a lot where they'll hit us up and be like, hey, do you want to do it like tonight or whatever? And I'll be like no, because I'm exhausted and I've been talking all day like this. And it's that thing of like it's similar to what I think you're going through, Andy, of like that. You come off and it's like, you know, we have amazing jobs and I love our jobs, but obviously throughout the day, I'm usually like, man, I can't wait to get to the end of the day and play this game or watch this thing. That's usually play this game. So like when something else pops up and it's like not a chore to talk to my friends or anything, but it is that thing of like, now I'm kind of looking forward to this because that's kind of been the carrot at the end of the stick. It's a weird trade-off, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I would never ever want to complain about what we do, but
and I'm not.
There's the
I'm
but.
Not. I love it.
But
I hate it.
Dan Lebatard has mentioned that. Yeah, we've talked to. Of course, our jobs are incredible, and we get to talk all day. But I've taught, you know, athletes have told me I was in the NFL for 11 years and I've never been more mentally exhausted than when I get off of this radio show after talking for 3 hours in a day or whatever. And I feel that like I totally understand how where he's coming from. And it reminds me of getting home after working at Best Buy, where I'm talking for 8 hours in one day and I'm talking to people and repeating the same bullshit and the same thing. And I'm talking to customers and I'm doing the spiel. And then I get home and I'm just like, oh, I just got to breathe. I got to breathe.
Yeah. You know?
And I sort of like got to catch up. But I totally feel that, Greg, with the carrot at the end of the stick, where there have been times that, oh, do you want to, you know, let's do this meetup on Zoom. You know, friends and family want to do this meetup on Zoom. It's like, oh, man, I was really looking to watching this show and just kind of doing nothing today.
Zone out,
you
know? For a second, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, I've had people reach out to me for shows. They're like, hey, man, what are you doing tonight at like 6? And I'm like, well, I mean, I can get there. I can make that work. But the idea of doing the full day that we do here, I really do look forward to that like few hours of time that I get to spend with my wife. But then you go over there and then you have all the added energy of having to make sure that everyone that's coming in is safe. You're keeping distance with people.
Yeah.
You're wearing a mask the entire time. It's outdoors. So thank God now it's getting warmer. But, you know, in the prior months where I do the shows that were like in Santa Cruz, like the coldest I've been in a long time was in Santa Cruz, standing on a cement parking structure with no one around me except for cars. And after a while, the lights were just like mesmerizing. I'm like, are these cars alive? What's happening to me?
Started getting high.
Just start getting a little fucking hallucinating, right? But I think honestly, I mean, it's, what's great about it is it seems like we're coming out of it to a degree. Like we're seeing, it seems like, you know, with Biden's announcement that
there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, vaccinations. Everyone that wants a vaccination or needs to get vaccinated should be vaccinated by end of May. And pushing that out from June, I think, is really positive. And then in San Francisco, you know, I think we just went to red, right? From purple. I don't know the colors.
They made up all the colors. The colors.
Yeah.
The colors.
Who knows what the colors mean?
Come on. I did read, though, should be the worst, right? Red should be the worst.
I did read, though, that there's like, I think 30-something% of the Asian community is like 28% of Hispanics in San Francisco, 28-something% of Caucasians in San Francisco who have got, like, they're kind of like keeping numbers of what the percentages and what communities have gotten them. Because there's a tracker that shows what districts have had the least amount of infections in the past like couple days or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
To kind of know, oh, okay, this area seems to be a little bit safer than that area or whatever. Yeah, my brother texted me the other day that he and his wife, my sister-in-law, are kind of getting fast tracked to get the vaccine because Texas is obviously opening for all. And I think they want to get them. Like, my mom's been back at school. My mom has been doing the thing back, like, as a nurse or whatever. Yeah, I'm hoping that we get there someday soon. Because, Barrett, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Alyssa may have gotten them already, right?
For teachers, it's opened up, I believe, because they're trying to get the school district back up and running whenever they can.
Not in SF, though, from what I was seeing. SF... Since they don't have a plan to open schools, teachers aren't allowed to get them yet. It's the most ass backwards thing.
I mean, that's.
I don't know if she's in a private school or not.
It's a very complicated situation in SFUSD, and I don't feel like I'm knowledgeable enough to.
I don't want to speak on anything.
I'm just speaking from James Burke, who's a teacher, and he's totally pissed off. And
he's also a holder of the platinum for Bloodborne.
Exactly. That's right, exactly. Yeah. But like, they're essentially asking him to work as a teacher in public, like with people, and they're like, "Yeah, you're gonna get a vaccine, but we can't get you one now because there's technically not a plan to." It's chicken and the egg of opening the school district for public schools.
And it was way worse like a month ago, where especially parents were really pushing for schools to come back with no plan to help protect teachers, and using examples of private schools, of how private schools have been successful at it. But I think the thing that parents don't put together is that public schools don't have the same resources as private schools. So again, it's a whole complicated mess. So yeah, it's.
I was walking to CVS yesterday, and lady was putting a sign up on the door. This area. I like misread it so many times because I was trying to read it backwards from inside of the store. I was trying to read it, you know, because it was weird. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it says available. And I looked up and like the words were all weird and it was like not available. I was like, oh, fuck. God damn it.
Damn. I mean, it's crazy. It's like I was talking to some people in Austin and apparently it's like anybody can get it. Like you just need to hit refresh on a website a lot and they have them at like HEB.
Yeah,
it's like, you gotta get lucky.
That's how the flu shots are, right? Like you can go walk into a Walgreens and get a flu shot every season.
It just sucks. It's so fucking backwards, and I get it. It makes sense that it's like, okay, well, Texas is open, and so many people don't want to get it, so anyone can fucking get it. Whereas here, everyone wants it and can't get it.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's just like availability or whatever. I don't know.
I signed up on the
SF thing. You know what I mean? To get notified when I can get it or whatever. Like the wait list. I don't know if it actually worked. I still think it's gonna happen that. Yeah, we did socially distanced drinks in the park a few weeks ago now, and one of our friends there was like, oh yeah, like we're like, oh, is your friend coming or whatever, and they were like, no, they got a call from their friend at the hospital that was like, hey, we have extra doses and they're getting tossed out, so if you want to come on down, and they ran down there and got it. And I have a feeling it'll be a lot like that, where it's going to be, I think I'm going to be on this wait list with SF forever, and then it's going to be I walk by a Walgreens and they are putting up a sign that's like, totally. Hey, you want it now.
You walk by and in the back alley, someone's just about to dump a box of COVID vials out, and they're like, eh? And
you're like, yeah, like it's going to be like a blow dart like on the street. I'm going to be back here in two weeks right here. Like, ah,
I don't know why I pictured it to be like the last guy on the shift at Papa John's, like throwing out the last pizzas.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like, oh, hey, we got to get You want to get these hot and ready?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. God, hot and ready Little Caesars. Gross.
Man, it's going to feel so weird, though, to have, like, you know what the feeling I miss? And I don't know, Greg, probably you don't get this, and Tim, you probably don't get it either, but Andy might get this.
Oh, only cool
that
kids
feeling
get it,
of okay. Going, like, you wake up, and you've done all the stuff, and then you go, huh, I don't have to go into the office today till later. Like, that feeling of being able to, like, have a chill morning, but still getting to go into the office, but not having to speed to the office to, like, get there for anything specifically and be on at, like, you know, 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning. I know that sounds crazy to people, but that's early for me. I miss going to the office. So the idea of missing not going to the office is such a foreign thing to me right now.
I wish I'd never had to go to the office again. Can't wait to be in the office, but the idea of a commute, ugh.
I can't wait
that.
Tim, your commute's gonna be 5 minutes long.
I hate right now. No, I hate right now the way it all runs together. Cause I don't, like, it's back to what we're talking about of, like, you know, oh man, I was looking forward to doing this, or oh man, I'm so tired after podcasting all day and having big days. Like, that cuts obviously to friends or family when you're like, oh, I feel like I'm giving them a shitty thing. It cuts for me the same way with Jen, where I come off and it's just like, I'm exhausted. Like, I need to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I love you. And yeah. I want, you know what I mean? But I know I'm not being a great husband. And I think, like, getting back to having a commute, having downtime, right? Just a little bit of it was from the old office to my place, of just like that moment to collect myself and have a, I remember all the time climbing into Ubers and just being like, ugh, and like shutting down, but then also coming up of like having a routine and passing, you know, into the now off time or whatever. Whereas this, right? Like, yesterday I had a question, so I just left my computer in sleep mode so I could just nudge the, you know, thing at any time to answer the thing, to do the stuff, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, that is something I do really miss. Like, Andy and I kind of always operated on different schedules, usually from day to day, so we didn't do much carpooling together going to the office. But I do miss that, like, getting on the bus and just having that moment to just kind of blank out and listen to music and not have to talk to anybody and stuff like that. So, yeah, exactly. So that is something, like, I still have to figure out whenever we get this new office and whenever we can go back into it, like, the commute for that place from our house.
It's going to be a little harder for you, Bear, but we're really close, I think, to some stuff for you. That was one of the reasons why we picked that location specifically, was because I think it's pretty close to the train station.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that aspect of it, of just being able to zone the fuck out for a minute.
Well, as long as Kevin keeps doing games daily, just go with me.
Yeah, I feel like once we get back into the studio, though, like, I would imagine that I would go back to more of the regular schedule of what my job is, which is
That's gonna be
more so helping production.
That's going to be the weirdest thing is, like, I feel like we've done such a good job, specifically Barrett, you and Kevin have done such a good job of running the shows remotely, that I feel like it's going to be an uphill battle being as efficient as we are right now, because we film so much shit every day and we're filming stuff concurrently, sometimes threefold, depending on if people, like, you know, depending on people filming stuff at their home for themselves. Like, Joey just hit me with the Patreon Q&A. I was like, shit, I could just be doing this whenever the rest of the shows are going, because I don't need access to a studio or a camera or a mic or a producer. I just have it all here on my cool Mac. And so that's going to
be... Yeah, but I don't think that'll go away necessarily, right? Like, that kind of stuff.
Not necessarily. Well, I don't know. I mean, hopefully...
You can go to a meeting room and do, like... Ask Nick anything. What's the funny name for yours?
I can't remember what we came up with.
Nick Picks was
Nick.
What
Nick
it was.
Picks. Nick Picks. Oh, that's right. Well, of course it's Nick Picks. God, I got one. Well, I go back to it every single time with the sexual stuff. But it's gonna be interesting to see how we utilize that.
Is that what I meant? I thought, because it's a nitpick, like, you nitpick movies.
Yeah, I thought it was.
You meant like, you think it's like a dick pick?
Tim, how'd you feel about it? Which one? Tim will be the deciding factor.
It's definitely nitpicking.
It's P-I-C-K, okay. Right? Not P-I-C.
Well, there you go. Never mind. apparently I was in a PG mood when we came up with that one. My bad.
Love it.
Doesn't even remember.
I imagine that whatever, and we won't even fucking know until it happens, because there's so many questions, but I imagine that whatever the new studio looks like is going to be a third iteration. Like, if working from home is iteration two, I think us in the new studio, it's going to be has to be some type of hybrid.
Well, for sure, we'll have, like, the Let's Play stations that I feel like people could just plug into and, like, record stuff whenever they wanted to. Like, we'll have these stations. They'll just be sort of hopefully there. And then, of course, yeah, you're right. Hybrid-wise, people could probably still be doing work from home. Like, we don't necessarily have, especially for the first, like, few months, right? I don't know how we're going to – what the COVID restrictions are going to be with how many people we can have and whatnot and all that stuff. So we'll have to figure that stuff out. But it is interesting.
He's going to leave his bunker to come do XCast here, so it'll still have to be that.
Who's that? Who did you say?
Paris Lilly isn't going to leave his bunker to come do the X-Cast here in San Francisco.
Okay. I imagine Gary's not going to want to come in anymore either, unless we have
free Gary. I mean, once he's vaccinated, Gary will be begging to play hang out with us. You know what I mean?
He will.
Yeah.
It's always so funny, though, because I'm like, I think Gary's enjoying hanging out with us. But the second I think that, he gets up and leaves. Every single time.
You gotta love it.
I don't know. I'm like, huh. I'm like, we're just getting into a stride. We're hanging out. It's gonna be, I'm like, I'm at the point where I'm like, Gary, do you want another LaCroix? Should we order some pizza? And he's like, well, that's it for me. And then just leaves.
Nick, did I'm you like, see Gary's quote yesterday on Funny Games Daily?
Amazing.
Oh, God.
Let's check it out in the post show, right, Craig?
Exactly. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny podcast each and every week, twice a week, four, sometimes five best friends gather on these microphones, each bringing the random bullshit you love to talk about. If you love that, you can go to patreon.com/kindafunny, where you can submit your random bullshit for us to talk about. You could watch the show live, just like Joshy G731 is, Lexi G is, Lalu is. Of course, on patreon.com/kindafunny, you can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we're about to do, but if you got no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can get the shows with ads, no post show. YouTube.com/kindafunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, thank you for supporting it. For now, we say goodbye to you, unless you're doing the post show. So until next time, it's been a pleasure to serve you.